Welcome to Uncorked, another podcast brought to you by Team Corker. Today's episode is with a very special Vancouverite. I was going to say a Vancouver boomerang because Amy Chan is from Vancouver and she went and spent some ultimately life-transforming time in New York before returning to Vancouver. And she left Vancouver known for being a communication guru, a hotel reviewer. She has worked among some very reputable and incredible brands from a marketing and communications perspective. And she returned to Vancouver, best known for her breakup boot camp, where all the broken hearts came to Amy to go through her workshops and read her words and learn how to heal. And now she's on a transformation of what's on the other side of breakups, hopefully finding love. And how do we go about doing that? And we peel back the curtain today and talk about all the things you can't find out about her online, which is a lot. We'll make sure those links are in the show notes. Yet to be in Vancouver and to know breakup and to know love is to know Amy Chan. And her perspectives and her inside sharings of what has gone on her journey, on her entrepreneurial journey, and finding this version of herself is so inspiring. So Amy Chan, thank you for jumping on the pod today. And to my sweet listeners, I hope you enjoy. Amy Chan, welcome to the pod. I want you to know that this is a long time coming yes, and your yes means a lot because you are someone who I have followed from afar with mad deep respect. And I'm excited that I get you on the mic to dive deep together. So thank you.
Yay, so excited to be here.
I want to start these conversations with a question for you that says, Amy, who are you in 2024? And beyond my introduction, it feels important that you get to introduce yourself with the words, labels, feelings that make you who you are today.
Yeah, I think who I am in 2024 is someone who has a vision of creating books and media and content out in the world while not being attached to any specific achievement or milestone, which is a big change from where I used to be living in New York and everything was about the next win. And it just is like a never ending climb. And yeah, I'm just kind of done with the just being on adrenaline all the time. And I want to create while having fun and create with people that I love.
Oh, bless. So you are not in New York. You're coming to us today from where?
Vancouver, my hometown.
What brought you back to Vancouver?
Lockdown during the pandemic, not leaving a tiny apartment in 45 days.
Got it.
And yeah, I moved back here to my hometown of Vancouver and it's been great.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, you've just said a few things and I want to jump off of them. And the first was unattached and this notion of climbing. Yet while you share that you're unattached, you also are up for creating. And there's something to be said for a creator's mindset, a creator's ability to not, I don't want to say churn. I mean like creating. It takes stamina. It takes momentum, inertia. So what is your relationship with creating and staying unattached, meaning creating great things, maybe creating things that you think are great, but they didn't quote unquote do so well? What is that relationship like for you?
I have goals and I have a bigger vision. And I'm also aware that the way that I can create my vision might look very different from the plan I have in my head. And I think this has been a theme in all parts of my life, right? Whether it's relationships or where I'm going to live or how I'm going to get that book deal, things have kind of gone off course and pivoted. And I used to be so attached to things going one certain way and this idea of perfection that whenever there was a pivot, it was very hard for me to stay resilient or not be so disappointed. And so I think having some openness and flexibility that things can go many different ways and just relax a little bit, that's one thing. And in what I do, it is really important for me to have time where I am just able to research, read, write, create. And I do have a morning ritual where pretty much at least 4 or 5 days out of the week, I start my morning by reading and writing.
What are you reading these days?
I'm currently reading something on the status games and the psychology of status and the different types of status people have.
Powerful. I love this. Okay, there's more jumping points from here because you speak to vision and you speak to goals. And I love goals. And I love when goals match vision. And I love that there's different ways for us to get there. And I'm wondering if there's any pieces of your vision, without getting personal, only for that which you're open to sharing, of your vision that really draws you up, makes you, you know, believe in something really big. Perhaps it's like the most outlandish piece of your vision, or it might be something that feels otherwise simple but has, you know, deep meaning for you.
Yeah, I feel my vision is to help people create healthier relationships. And this is across the board, whether they're romantic, whether they're platonic, or whether they are professional, because I believe that the same psychological patterns apply across the board. And how I'm going to do this is going to take many different forms. So a period of time, I was like, it has to be in this one way. And I've recognized that it doesn't have to be that way. And it could be in a book, it could be in social media content, it could be in a conversation that sparks something, and then that person sparks a conversation with another. So I really have to remind myself that. And sometimes it's hard because I'm stuck in the day-to-day details of things, and that can be exhausting and taxing. And I think sometimes when I go to do my actual breakup boot camps, my in-person retreats, or when I'm coaching someone, it really reminds me of why I'm doing what I am doing. It takes me back to the why and the vision. And that's important because otherwise you could get jaded.
Yeah, totally. Well, jaded and or miss out on the joy of a plot twist or a pivot. And it's beautiful to hear you say, oh, sometimes we just need to relax into the left turns, into the U-turns, into the roundabouts that life takes us on. Other than the sage advice, the sage word of relaxing, is there perspective that you can share on some pivots or plot twists that you've been able to roll with perhaps more gently that has led to something that you're, you know, gracefully appreciative of now? Because I think often we hear of these like pivots or plot twists that feel so dramatic, and they don't necessarily come with the same grace of, like, dare I say, joy.
Yeah. Wow. There's been so many. And I think one that comes to mind is I spent a lot of my life climbing the corporate ladder until I had my sights on becoming a chief marketing officer. And I just had my eye on the prize. And along the way, I had worked at different companies, some of them startups. And one of the ones was I became a hotel reviewer in New York City. That's what got me to make the move. And I thought I was living this dream job, and the company runs out of money and I'm out of a job. My visa was contingent on that. And I was just in a really dark space. And this wasn't the first time. I've been laid off in jobs before. It's not a new thing. And it could be really harmful, like, and hurting to the self-esteem, and you feel rejected and all of these things. And I now have the ability to look back and be like, oh my gosh, a door closed, so another one would open. And, you know, from that job, I ended up finding another job that was a lot better for me in that stage of my life. And it just continued to happen that way. One door closed. I might not have known what exactly was going to open next, but then it trained me to have some faith that things do work out. At least I've had enough data to show me that. And even if working out means it's going to get painful and uncomfortable and hard, but then you can move through it, and then something unexpected might happen. And maybe that's a better job, or maybe you find yourself living in another city, or you met someone who became a really important person in your life. I just feel like if you have some trust and faith, it will probably do more good in your life than harm.
Trust and faith in the plot twists that happen. It's also timely that we talk about some people are getting laid off right now, and it's not really slowing down. And to think about the gifts of doors closing and the gifts of new windows opening.
Can I just say something to the people who might be struggling with getting laid off or whatnot? Yeah. I understand that in today's economy, it's been rough. And I know a lot of people who have, you know, been through layoffs and they've had a hard time finding their next role. I know what has worked for me is during these times where you feel the pain, whether it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay rent? Or, oh my gosh, like, what's the next step for me? There is an opportunity there because the pain can be a very powerful catalyst. And when we're complacent, when things are good, we usually don't go and reach for major change. Because why? There isn't enough discomfort there. So we're not going to risk uncertainty and the unknown. And we will stay in this kind of, it's okay, or mediocrity purgatory. And so, yeah, right now, you might not know what your next gig is, but just keep planting seeds, right? Mm. Try this side hustle and try this one and go out of your comfort zone and go to that network meeting. And maybe nothing will come out of it in the way that you expect, but you never know when one of those seeds can become a portal.
Amen. A portal, a seed. I really hear like fertilize the soil while you can. Fertilize the soil. Never take the moment for granted. And mediocrity purgatory. That's a mic drop if I've ever heard one. May we not be in mediocrity purgatory. Heck yes. That feels like the perfect jumping off place to the question I wanted to ask you about media, because the world of media, and be it creating media, interacting in things called social media, feels kind of like the opposite of mediocrity purgatory in that there is so much, there's so much going on there. Now, some people can just be creepers or consumers, and there's other people that are creating and generating, and that's obviously very powerful. Yeah, tell me about media. Tell me about how you choose where you're showing up, what your relationship is with it. And I really like this idea of us not being mediocre. And how does your relationship with mediocre and media come together?
Can you rephrase? I don't really understand the question.
I love you for asking that. That's so sage. Okay, let's hold on mediocrity. Let me ask about the world of media. How are you choosing where and how to show up? And when you have this world of abundance, there's so many options, especially being an entrepreneur, you could choose many things, many places. And how are you choosing to leverage media, as you said at the beginning, in ways that are of service to you personally and professionally?
Yeah, I feel like there is a build. When I was first starting out in being out there in the public, I was just taking anything I could get. When I was launching my book, I launched my book in the height of the pandemic, a week after the election. It was a very inopportune time. And I knew what I was up against. So my method was to go on 100 podcasts. And in the beginning, I was like, I'll just take whatever. You have two listeners, I don't care. And it really helped me evolve my voice, my style, my main points. And now I'm at a point where I've done so much building that I can be a lot more particular. And a lot of the times it's just a gut check. Like, do I feel resistance or do I feel expansion? And so there's times where it makes absolutely no sense. Like, you know, is this going to do XYZ for me? Am I going to sell 100 books? Probably not, but there's something about it that just feels good and it feels fun. And, or maybe it's a person that I'm like, oh, you know what? Why not? It seems like there's an energy there. Then it'll be a yes. But I do right now, I have to be very careful with what I say yes to, because I have planted a lot of seeds and a lot of them are growing at the exact same time. And so I just did an exercise yesterday, which is bringing me back to the why. What is it? Why do I want to do these things? Like, is it money? Is it having as much impact as I possibly can? Is it doing fun projects? And then I looked at the different goals and the opportunities, and I was like, does it fit in the bigger reasons of why? And if it's a no, then I have to take a serious consideration if I'm actually going to do this thing.
Powerful. I'm hitting the pause button on this sweet episode to tell you about something that you might like. Our newsletter, we call it the Corkboard. It has all things juicy, whether you are looking to keep in touch between episodes or find out more about our coaching, development, or hot new jobs that we're working on. The link is in our show notes. Your inbox is sacred and your time is too. So now let's get back to the episode. Okay, now I want to layer in the mediocrity question and ask, are there any areas of your life that you feel you have been in mediocrity purgatory And what have you done to get out of it?
Great question. I definitely think, I mean, it's fitness. I only started working out about a year ago. I never made the connection that taking care of your body is parallel with taking care of your emotions and your brain. And I think that part's hard. I spent over 40 years not really taking exercise seriously. And only in recent times, my father passed away. I really recognize the importance of health. I recognize not only for yourself, but when you don't take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, other people have to pay the price. And so I've now like, okay, I have to focus on it, but it's hard. It's hard creating these new habits, but I'm trying.
Oh, I love it. Well, I am obsessed with the sweaty pursuits of life. And I can't help but ask, how do you like to move your body? And what is your form of exercise that you're finding some joy in?
My favorite is doing dance. I find that dancing really, especially for people like myself, who are very in their head, very A-type, hyper-functioning, it gets me into my body. So there's definitely a double positive there where I'm working out and I am just getting into my body and getting tapping back into play. So that's ideal. Yeah,
I love it. Play. I've been going back to the pool and swimming quite a bit right now. And I swam a lot when I was young. And now for me, swimming reminds me of feeling like a 10-year-old again, a 12-year-old. And it's really wonderful to have some things that, you know, swimming isn't hard on your body. You're kind of floating about. I'm like, wow, I'm so mean to this body. I ask so much of it. It's hard work. And I'm like, how do we complement sweating and kindness? And like, where is there like a gentleness that, to your point, still honors that we need to exercise and we need chemical reactions. We need the impact for our brain. So I love that. I love that you inject play and movement. It feels so beautiful, which is the perfect next point around our nervous system. So there's one piece called like physically, what are we doing? How are we moving? And there's another piece in all of this. I mean, even your sharing of moving back to Vancouver, during these times called the pandemic, and then there have been wars and recessions and all of the things that have happened in the last 4 years, our nervous systems have been jacked because not only have these things happened, but we have lost loved ones. People have been ill. That many different like critical life moments have occurred. And I think this essence of like jacked nervous systems is somehow, I feel like we like walk around and we're like, uh-oh, who's who? Where are we? It's your approach to checking in and caring for a calm nervous system?
I think first is developing a relationship with your body and your emotions. And the way you do this is to first notice. And for myself, when something comes up, maybe it's an email that causes some tension. Before, without any tools, I would just react. And now I'm like, oh, okay, I feel it here. I now know my tools. If I'm having a major reaction, I understand that, oh, my body is being flooded with adrenaline and cortisol. Adrenaline's job is to make you take action. So you might send that negative message or phone call. And instead of doing that, I do a state change, which typically involves setting a timer for 2 minutes, shaking my body from head to toe, allowing those chemicals to metabolize. Then I do deep breathing to get myself in a calm state. And I really just, unless I am in a very calm, collected state, I do not react. So I don't send any reaction to anyone. And I give it time. And so I think learning the art of pause is definitely a skill that you cultivate as well.
This is sage. I am here for this. So if you're listening, you might want to hit rewind and take note of the art of the pause brought to you by Amy Chan so that the email doesn't get sent when it doesn't need to be sent or the words don't need to be spoken in that exact hot moment. Emotional regulation feels like the first art of creating highly functional interpersonal relations. Yeah. You are offering so many great nuggets that you're doing for yourself. I feel like these are like the inside tips and tricks, Life with Amy Chan. And I can't help but ask, how do you also cultivate your own practice of, be it inspiration, or maybe it's less of a practice. I'm more curious where you go to fill your own cup. So as an entrepreneur that is giving, that is creating, that's generating, do you look to authors or podcasts? Are there events? What fills your cup for you to take and say, hey, I'm going to bring this into my life now, and here's an upgrade?
Yeah. So I know what things bring me joy. And the thing that brings me the best joy is sitting in a cafe, reading a book, and just learning from these authors. It's just such a gift that there are people who spend so much time and like energy and put themselves out there in research, and that we get to learn it, whether in the form of books or in podcasts. So that's definitely an area. And what I do is when something sticks, I pause everything. I allow myself to reflect on the point. And I think that's the beauty of books, right? A lot of people are like, well, why read when you can just get like a summary of it in a minute? Well, the whole point of reading is you get to wrestle with the ideas. And in that wrestling is when you can have an aha moment, or that could be a seed or even a portal to other ideas and concepts. I also love being around other people who we can exchange energy. And I'm very, very sensitive to energy. So I'm very aware of how to create gatherings where the energy will flow. I know what energy matches, what doesn't. And I'm really sensitive when I don't mix with someone. And I listen to that, and I'm not apologetic about it.
Heck yes. Not apologetic. Unapologetic in 2024 feels like a very beautiful mic drop. Is there a practice that you have for that? Other than, I mean, I hear a deep feeling. Did it take practice, or is it something that you are in the practice of when it comes to feeling so confidently unapologetic?
I think it's about cultivating intuition, and we all have intuition. It's just that life happens and we get disconnected from our body and therefore our intuition. So my practice has been a journey of really getting out of that super A-type disassociating person that I was and who was thriving in that in New York City, and just getting back to calm and peace and sitting with the discomfort of being bored or with a lull in a conversation from doing one thing at a time. It sounds so simple, but just even when I eat, I make sure that I'm just eating. And I'm not on my phone. I'm not doing all these things. And the simple practice of being mindful, it does bleed into other areas of your life. And so now, like, I don't have that much gray area when I'm making decisions. There's usually pretty strong. And when I'm really confused, then I'll do some digging, or I'll ask people that I trust in that area.
Mindfulness feels like a currency to me. It feels like this, even just hearing you say, I only eat, I'm not on my phone and doing other things. And I'm like, what a gift. And we can all do one thing for a moment. I mean, even consuming a meal doesn't take so long, and we can still want to do five other things while eating. So yeah. I hear that practice, the practice of being mindful and the tool that it allows to create powerful decision-making. Really, it helps us make powerful choices. That I really resonate with that. I really hear that. You mentioned New York and coming back to Vancouver, and I can't help but ask, what have been your top three favorite things, places? Maybe it's a coffee shop in returning to Vancouver.
Oh, so my favorite coffee shop right now is this tiny little place called Yuan, Y-U-A-N. It's on like Clark and Hastings, and they only serve specialty coffee. There's nothing else there. There's a menu of different coffees you can choose. And the guy who runs is just a true like coffee master. So I love going there. I love that it's local. And let's see, oh my gosh, the food scene here is just so incredible. I love Anh Chi, which is like Vietnamese food. And I love going to the library. Like, what? It's amazing.
Yes, I love that. Vancouver libraries are a very special, special place. I'm with you. So cool. Well, we're at time, and this is how it happens. And I feel like I learned so many sweet little nuggets, and there's so much else. Of course, we'll ensure that there are links to all of the places and spaces that people can find you online for coaching and retreats and your book. And my hope in engaging in this conversation was that we would have a conversation not about those things that we can find in the links. And I think we did just that. So
yeah, this was so fun.
Oh, it goes by so fast, Amy.
I know.
I must wrap though with our favorite last question, and that is, will you tell me what is making your heart beat faster?
Oh, wow. Okay. I have some really cool projects. I'm launching a dating boot camp, and my next kind of everything from book to podcast will be around helping people find and create love. So I've helped people with getting over heartbreak, and now I'm helping people get into healthy relationships, and it's very exciting for me.
Amen. I love that. Here's to love, here's to unapologetic, and here's to Amy Chan in 2024. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, before you go, you know, listening to podcasts on this thing called the internet, it's a wild ride. And what would be so helpful on our wild journey is if you would be so kind to jump on and give us a review. 4, maybe even 5 stars. It really helps. Thanks for joining us.